Hi, I'm Doug Holcomb, Senior Pastor at Live Oak. Thanks for joining us, for connecting online. We're in this series called Now What? What do you do when you don't know what to do? I think one of life's biggest questions and one of the most frequent questions I get as a pastor is, what is God's plan for my life and how do I know it? I get the question a lot. I even ask the question a lot. Now, let me give you some examples. We might be asking it, deciding, where do I go to school? What college do I choose? Where do I send my kids to school? It could be, what major do I choose? What job do I take? What city do I live in? What do I do with my finances in terms of financial decisions, relationships? Who do I date? Who do I marry? There are all these aspects in life where sometimes we're asking this big question, what is God's plan for my life? How do we know? Can we know it? I believe we can. But I'll be honest, sometimes trying to figure out his plan seems more mystery than certainty. Why is it so hard? Maybe you can really relate to that, that there have been times in your life where you really wanted to know God's plan, but it felt foggy or mysterious, or you just couldn't quite land on a conclusion. Well, you're not alone. The one big question I want us to think about today is this, is what should I do with my life? The most frequent asked question I get. And we're going to come back to it, but I want to actually rephrase the question. Rather than saying, what should I do with my life? God, what should I do with my life? I want to start with the assumption that you really want to do what God wants you to do. You want to know God's plan. Today, we're going to talk about, how do you know it? God, what do I do with my life? What are your plans for me? What is your will? Where do I go from here? Now what? Let me give you a premise and promise about what we're going to do today and for the next 3 weeks as we talk about God's plan. The premise is that I do believe God does have a great plan for your life. He really does have a great plan, and you can know it. And the promise I want to give you over the next 3 weeks is you will be equipped about how to find God's plan for your life. In fact, today, you will be able to answer the question. You're going to know how to answer the question, God, what is your plan for my life? Today, at the end of the message, you'll know how to answer that question. But let me start here about why I think sometimes God's plan for our life gets very foggy. If you look up in the Bible, and I've done this, the phrase, the Lord's will is, several things come up. You could see it in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Different passages, you see these phrases that either are preceded or followed by the phrase, the Lord's will is, or because it's the Lord's will, or for it is the Lord's will. Be saved. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in everything. Rejoice always. Avoid sexual immorality. Submit to authorities. Those seven phrases all are coupled with, for it is the Lord's will, or the Lord's will is. And those phrases give me very, very clear ideas of, I know that God's will is for me to do those things. The problem is, or the challenge is that it's broad, it's not specific. They're generalities without the specific details. So what should we conclude from that? That God isn't interested in the details of my life? That he's just a generalist? Like, you do those things and I'm not interested in the other things? Well, the great news I have for you is God is supremely interested in the details of your life. He cares about you. And here's the thing I want you to think about. What if the details really have kept us from knowing the specifics? What if we've gotten confused of focusing on the, do I go left or do I go right? And there's something else that's a starting point. What if focusing on God, what do I do about this job or what do I do about this school decision? What if that's not the place we start? We will get specific. But what I want you to know is that if we miss the fundamentals of the plan, it all breaks down. So let me illustrate it this way. Vince Lombardi, one of the most successful football coaches of all time, perhaps one of the most successful coaches of all times, very influential to other coaches. They looked at him as a role model. His wisdom, his wit was kind of in there. His success, he won 5 Super Bowls, 3 of them in a row, and he won 5 in 7 years. And it was in July of 1961 when 38 members of the Green Bay Packers had gotten together for training camp after losing the previous year to the Philadelphia Eagles in the fourth quarter in a devastating defeat. And they came back to training camp in July of 61. They were ready to turn it around, to overcome their failures, and win the Super Bowl. By the way, the Super Bowl trophy is named after Vince Lombardi, the Lombardi Trophy. And they wanted to win a championship again. And so as they got together, they were ready to hear what his plan was, how to overcome this brutal loss. And as he got them together and sat them down, he didn't start talking about what happened last year. He didn't talk about these big ideas and new changes and plans they were going to do for next year. Instead, he focused on something very, very different. He sat him down in his first speech. He said this: "Gentlemen, this is a football." And throughout all of training camp, he focused on the fundamentals, how you block, how you tackle, the very, very basic things of life. And he did that to get their mind off the loss and focus on, we're going to be good at the basics so we can go above and beyond and be the best at our ability. You start with the fundamentals. This is a football. John Wooden did a similar thing. He was the successful basketball coach at UCLA in college. He won 10 national championships in 12 years. Seven of them were in a row. No one else has won more than four in a row in Division I college basketball. Very successful coach. And he wasn't just a great coach, he was a great teacher and a great developer of not just players, but of people. And this great teacher got his team together one year at the beginning of the year, and he was so, they were all excited to hear from this great teacher what wisdom about basketball he would teach them. And they sat down and he said, "Gentlemen, take off your socks and shoes." They're looking at each other like, why would we do that? So they do it. And then he says, "Okay, guys, this is how you put on a sock." And he takes it and he says, "Pull it on tight. Smooth it over the calf. Make sure it's pulled all the way up and that there's no wrinkles on the heel. And then you do it with the other sock. And this is how you put your laces on. This is how you put on your shoe. This is how you tie your shoe, nice and tight." And then he said, "Okay, guys, let's head out on the court." And he walked out. And they're all looking at each other. And it said that as he was walking out, he stopped and he turned around and he said, "Guys, let me tell you why I told you how to put on a sock. Because if you don't put on your sock right, it gets a wrinkle on the heel. A wrinkle on your sock puts a blister on your foot. A blister on your foot means you can't practice well. If you can't practice well, you can't play well. If you don't play well, we can't win. It starts with the fundamentals. You have to start here." When it comes to knowing God's plan for your life, the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, turn there if you have a Bible, Colossians chapter 3. If you don't know where it is, the very first book of the Bible is called Table of Contents. It's not really a book of the Bible, but turn there. It'll help you. Colossians 3, verse 1. This is Paul's "This is a football" speech. If you want to know how to answer the question, what is God's plan for my life? It starts here. Colossians 3, verse 1. "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Have you ever had a rough day? Ever been in a very difficult season of life? We tend to hang our head and look down. And he says, no, focus on above. And specifically, he says, set your hearts on things above. The heart is not talking about in the Bible, when it says the heart, it's not talking about the thing that pumps in your chest that pumps blood. It's talking about the core of who you are that motivates you. It's your desires, your hopes, your dreams. He says, set your hope, set your desire on Christ, on things above, on what God wants for you. Verse 2, he says this: set your minds on things above, not just your heart, your desire, your mind, what you think about, what you process with, your place of reasoning and thinking and deciding. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, not by what's going on in front of you, but what God has for you, his truth and his plans. And then he says this, and by the way, that phrase literally means keep seeking the things of God. Set your mind on it, focus on it. Then he says this cryptic phrase: for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Well, the thing is, the people he was writing to, the church in Colossae, they were alive. They had heartbeats. They were people. They were alive. They weren't dead. But what Paul knew is there's this truth, this spiritual truth. It said different ways throughout the Bible. You must be born again, or you need to die to self to live for Christ. Paul said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain, that I'm living for Christ, and if I die, that's okay. It's something about eternal life, not just physical life. But there's something that needs to happen in us. Paul said it this way in Galatians 2:20. He said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. He says, just like Jesus died on the cross, something in me is dead. I am dying to self. Paul's no longer here, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, he's still alive, got a heartbeat, but his old self is dead, and now he's living a new life that's focused on Christ. His mind is focused on Christ. His heart, his desires are focused on Christ. His life is now Christ. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So go back to Colossians 3, verses 2 through 3. He says this, set your minds, think about, focus on things above, what God wants for you, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then he says something about your life. And if you want to know the answer to the question, God, what do you want for my life? What should I do with my life? The next six words are amazing. They are so important. They are fundamental. The next six words, verse 4, well, here it is. What's God's plan for you? When Christ, who is your life? Let's go back to the question. What should I do with my life? Here's the answer. The answer is Jesus saying, I am your life. Jesus is your life. Here's why we miss it. We think God is a part of our life. No, he is your life. He's not just a part of your life. He's not just a priority in your life. He's not just a component of your life. He is your life. As a result, our focus is not on the future. It's on our life in Christ. The focus of our life is not on the future. It's a person. It's Jesus. And so when our focus is on Jesus, we let him lead us to the future he has for us. And we let him lead us, not just in the big decisions, but in the small details of life. We focus on knowing and following Jesus. What we've said throughout this whole series, we've been talking about now what? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Especially important in the season of a pandemic, with a crisis because of a virus in the economy and other aspects that are influencing our life. What do you do when you don't know what to do? When there's no map for this, how do we navigate it? When you don't have a map, you need a compass. We have something better. We have a guide. We have Jesus, who is our life, to guide us. Jesus said this in John 14:6. This is the promise he makes to you. This is the offer he makes to you. Jesus said, I am the way. Which way should I go? Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. Jesus says, if you want to know what the truth is, I am the truth. And Jesus says, I am the life. If you want to know what should I do with my life, Jesus says, I am the life. I am your life. It's not something you know. God's will isn't something you know. It's someone you know. It's Jesus. It starts there. And if you don't start there, it's going to be hard to figure out the rest of it. So what does that mean for us in everyday life? What if I am facing a decision in life and I don't know, do I go left or do I go right? Do I go to this school or that school? Do I date this person or that person? Do I date at all? Do I marry? What do I do? Do I do this with my finances? Do I take this job? Do I live in this city? When you have those decisions, what does it mean? What do you do now based on what we just said right there, these fundamentals? Let me illustrate it this way. This is how it changes everything. Did you ever buy Cracker Jack as a kid? I love buying Cracker Jack as a kid for a very specific reason. I mean, it's okay in its taste, but there's something else about it. It's this offer right here. It says prize inside. Prize inside. Other things were like that too. I remember Happy Meals. I used to ask my parents to get me a Happy Meal. And I liked the burger and I liked the fries, but there was something else about the Happy Meal that I really liked. I liked the prize inside. I remember standing in the cereal aisle facing one of the toughest decisions you face as a kid when your mom says, What cereal do you want to buy? Oh, that's a tough decision. You're at a huge crossroads. Do you choose the Fruit Loops, Fruity Pebbles, Frosted Flakes, Frankenberry, Count Chocula? Like, what are you buying here? What cereal do you buy? And sometimes the tipping point that helped me make this critical decision as a kid, what cereal do I buy, was based on something on the front of the box that said, there's a prize inside. Let's get that one. Let's go with the Fruit Loops because I like the prize it's offering. Well, Cracker Jack says there's a prize inside. And let's be honest, sometimes we liked it. Not because of we liked Cracker Jack or that cereal was better than the other. We liked it because of the prize inside. Let's see what's inside this one. So here we go. We got the Cracker Jack, and here's the prize inside. Honestly, I'm not too excited about pulling this out because it's very thin, very small. I remember as a kid, one time getting a compass. And when you don't have a map, you need a compass, right? Like, I got a compass out of a Cracker Jack. It was real plastic, small, pretty cheap, but it actually kind of worked. It had a little thing. You could tie a string and hang it around your neck. Another time I got a magnifying glass. Another time it was a little ring. One time in a cereal, it was a little action figure. Like, that was great. I love the prize inside. This one's not too promising. It's got pretty thin, so we peel it back. And it's a sticker. That's kind of cool. It's a baseball sticker. I wish it was a hockey sticker, but that's okay. It's a baseball sticker. But it also says this. I can unlock some classic games to play online by using this code going here. And so it's actually a sticker and it's got something else. There's a prize inside. And that's why we bought the Cracker Jack. We liked the prize inside. Can I tell you a secret? There's a prize inside of you. There's a prize inside of you. Did you know that when you enter a relationship with Jesus, there's a prize inside of you? God's Holy Spirit. When you give your life to Jesus, He gives His life to you. And He lives His life in you and through you, through His Holy Spirit. There's a prize in you, His Holy Spirit. And wherever you go, He is with you. Whether it's a good day or a bad day, whether you're facing a decision or you're just going through a normal everyday afternoon, like no matter where you go, Christ is your life. And His Holy Spirit is living in you and through you. God's plan for you is to live with Him in that relationship, moment by moment, not just at the big decisions, but all the time, that you would let Him live through you. When Jesus was telling His disciples that He was about to be crucified, and but don't worry, I'll be raised to life in 3 days, and He was telling them this, He also told them, after that, I'll be with you for a while, then I'm going to go away. And they didn't like that at all. They said, Jesus, please don't go. We want you to stay. And He said, no, here's why it's good that I'm going away, because then I will send the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. And here's what He said in John 16, 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. You've got a prize inside, God's Holy Spirit living in you and through you to guide you, not just in big decisions, but in all decisions, and to change you and empower you and live His life in you and through you. That's the prize inside. That's the fundamental. Christ is your life. Paul really challenged people to think differently about how they thought about this concept called the temple. The temple at that time and prior had been the center of their city and the center of their faith. That was like the place where their faith was focused, that they would meet with God in a significant way in the temple. But then Jesus came, and suddenly the temple is not necessarily, it's not about a building. It's about Jesus and His Holy Spirit. In fact, Paul said, can you not understand how this changes everything? Have you not understood what this means? He says this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Do you not know that your body, your life, is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Who is in you, whom you have received from God? Listen, this is why I'm not so stressed out and thinking, oh no, the church is shut down right now. The church isn't shut down. The building's closed. And while I'm disappointed about that, it's actually given us new opportunities. But here's the thing that you can't miss. The church isn't shut down. The church is you. It's Christ in you that changes everything. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's about people who have the Spirit of God living in them and through them. That's the church, and that changes everything. But just on an individual basis, what you need to know is each and every day, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he says this phrase at the end, you are not your own. You belong to Jesus. But there's a prize inside. God's Holy Spirit living in you and through you. And when you live like this is true, there's a peace during the process as we try to figure out what God's plan is and we seek what is next. I want that for you. He has that for you. This is his plan, that he is your life and he lives his life in you and through you. And what I want to challenge you to do is let God be God in your world today. Not just when you're facing a decision, but when you're living everyday life. Spend a day living as if it's true that Christ is in you, wanting to guide you. Live as if it's true, because it is. And then do it again the next day. And then do it again the next. And as you do that, he will lead you to the future he has for you, which will answer to some of the questions you're asking. God, what do I do with my life? Or what do I do in this certain situation? He'll answer that question, but so many more as he guides you to what he has for you, what he has planned for you. So let's go back to what Paul tells us in Colossians 3. Here's where it all starts. This is our focus. These are the fundamentals. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. If you've given your life to Christ, you have new life in Christ. This is how you live. Set your hearts, your desires on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, what you think about, what you put in your head, what you focus your mind on. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, the old you is gone. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then there's that powerful phrase, when Christ, who is your life, and he goes on from there, but this is the most important thing. He says, Christ is your life. And as you live as if that's true, it changes the question. It changes it from, God, what should I do with my life? What should I do with my life? Jesus is your life. So it changes the question. What should I do with your life that is within me? Christ in you, that is life. The Holy Spirit living in you and through you, that's how we live. Live like it's true because it is. So what's your next step? At Live Oak, we always say there's always a next step. And for everything we do, we try to make sure that we introduce that question, what's the next step, into it. We do it with our Sunday morning services. We do it with student ministry at Lawson and college ministry. We do it with small groups. We do it with kids ministry. We do it with our soap journals, teaching how to study the Bible. What's the application? What is your next step? Well, here's what I think your next step is based on this fundamental that we talked about today, that Christ is your life. For the next several days, maybe for the next 7 days through this week, would you just go with God, like live as if it's true, that he really is living in you and through you and guiding you? Would you focus on him and his presence in you and focus on him being your life? Stop trying to figure out and control the future. But for the next 7 days, would you just focus on living each and every moment as if he is with you, that he is your life, not a part of your life, but he is your life, and he's leading you and guiding you and changing you as he lives his life in you and through you through his Holy Spirit. Shift your focus from your future to your Heavenly Father. Set your heart on things above, set your mind on things above. Focus on him and the fact that he's not somewhere distant. Setting our mind on Christ above, he's not distant. He's with you through his Holy Spirit in you, wanting to live his life through you. And rest in that, especially if you're at a crossroads of a decision. If it's time sensitive and you got to decide something in the next several hours or days, yeah, don't do this for 7 days, but start here. Christ is your life. And it changes the question from what should I do with my life to what should I do with my life, with your life that is within me. Next week, we're going to get very specific and practical as we talk about what is God's plan for your life. How do we know it? And I'm going to practically give you some tools and questions to help you with that. But what I want to also talk about next week is the question is God's plan for our life more of a blueprint or a game plan? A blueprint, if you're watching this living in a house, just look around. There was a blueprint that had every board, nail, brick, wire, everything was designed in a blueprint that said where every specific thing goes. Is that how God's will is? That every specific thing, as I'm about to eat Cracker Jack, is that God's will for my life? As I'm about to, oh, I got this prize inside. I'm about to go to the website. Is that God's will for my life? I'm going to go get a drink of water. Is that God's will for my life? Is God's will like a blueprint or is it more like a game plan? Does it say, basically, this is how I want you to play. How I want you to play the game. And here's our style. And here's our offensive strategy, our defensive strategy. But there are some specific plays occasionally, but there's also a lot of freedom. Well, which is it? Is it more like a blueprint or a game plan? And how do we know how to follow the blueprint or how to follow the game plan? We're going to talk about that next week. But we can't talk about that if we didn't start where we started today. We have to start here. Christ is your life. That's the fundamental thing. Christ is your life. And the question isn't what should I do with my life? It's what should I do with your life that's within me? And to live each and every moment, maybe even do something to remind yourself, set an alarm, do something to remind you, hey, right now, Christ is with you through his Holy Spirit. God is with you and wants to live his life in you and through you right now. To remind yourself of that and live with it moment by moment as if it's true. To live each and every day following him, not following your heart, not following your emotions, setting your heart and mind on things above, not on what you want, but what on he wants. Not following anything other than Jesus, but following him, the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. To let him lead you and guide you. And to let the one who gave his life for you at the cross and gave his life to you through the Holy Spirit live his life in you and through you moment by moment. I guarantee you, it changes how we approach not just discovering God's will and God's plan for our life. It changes how we do everything. Christ is your life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Live like it's true because it is.